another episode of Side Hustle City, the podcast that helps you turn your side hustle into your main hustle, with your hosts, Adam Kaler and Kyle Stevie. Welcome back, everybody, to the Side Hustle City podcast. I'm here with my trusty colleague, Kyle Stevie, once again.
Yo.
And actually, my wife is here.
Hi.
Miss Melissa, as my friends call her. When they come to our house and they've got to do what she says. But yeah, Melissa Kaler, a.k.a. Melissa Allen. She started Spa Melissa Allen, and it's a successful skincare spa in off of Red Bank Road.
Yeah,
Madisonville. That's still Madisonville.
Hyde Park.
Yeah, Madisonville, Hyde Park area she serves. But she also has her sister, Miranda Behrens, who is here with us.
Hello, hello.
So Miranda is a realtor. She also works with Apple, and now they've got their own little side hustle.
Yeah, we do.
So Melissa's doing skincare, and Miranda's doing real estate, but something completely unrelated, just like most people's side hustles. Now they're doing a candle business called Nostalgic, right?
Yeah, we are.
So tell us, Melissa, how this Nostalgic thing started.
So a couple years ago, 2018?
Yes.
2018, both of our grandmothers passed away, and we were very sad about that, and we wanted to do something to honor and remember them.
It was really unexpected. I mean, they were getting older, as people do, but it was unexpected to lose them both so quickly within a year of each other. And we kind of had some regrets about not seeing them
as frequently as
we should have. Yeah. So we put our heads together and tried to find a way to kind of honor and remember their names. And we came up with Nostalgic.
Yeah.
So Nostalgic, how did this name come about and what does it mean? So nostalgia mixed with candles, apparently.
Yes. Very good.
We think we're pretty clever.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did do the logo, but.
You did. You get some props for that.
You did
for sure.
A very great job.
So this merely started as a way to honor your grandparents, but at the same time, you guys have wanted to start something together, right? This is almost like a family business in a way.
Yeah.
Miranda is in age pretty far apart from you. Yeah. She's the baby of the family. 14 years.
Yeah.
So Miranda has a different perspective, comes from a different, I guess the other end of the generation. Well, you're still Gen X, Melissa.
I'm still Gen X.
But you're Gen Y.
No, I'm a millennial.
You're a millennial. And so you kind of have a different perspective, right? You're very online, hands-on. You understand. I mean, you're like a couponer, like an extreme
Absolutely.
Couponer.
Absolutely.
Tell us like why, what got you into that? Like what got you into all these coupons and getting online and understanding how e-commerce works and all this other stuff?
That is a good question. I like to say part of it's my German heritage.
Yeah, we are cheap bastards.
We're pretty frugal.
Yeah, we've talked about it from like trying to raise money just try to get like grandpa to give you a dollar to go to the candy store. It wasn't happening. You're lucky to get a quarter.
Yeah.
It's just being German means save, save, save.
I posted on Facebook. We were talking about it before this. My people are from like that Alsace region of like in between France and Switzerland and Germany. And the part of Germany that we're from, Angela Merkel said, the people there, the way they live frugally and they're so cheap, right? There's like jokes in Germany about how cheap that region of Germany is. But apparently it's the most economically successful part of Germany. And she said they should be the model for the rest of Europe, the way the rest of Europe should live. And that's – so you're already cheap if you're German. But if you're from the region where we're from in the southwestern part of Germany, you're even cheaper somehow. So it's like extreme cheapness. And apparently a lot of those people moved to like this area. So I think there is something about it. Like it's weird. It's just like hands down where you're like don't spend money on stupid stuff. And we talk about it on the podcast all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, live frugally. If you're going to own a business, you're essentially poor for a while.
Don't raise money. You won't be able to raise money here.
No, it's going to be hard. Yeah, it's going to be really hard. But if it's a regular business, like a service business, right? If you want to cut hair for a living or you want to do some kind of service, you have to build that business. You have to advertise, you have to do stuff. You can't spend money on yourself. Every dollar you spend on yourself is money you can't spend on your business building your clientele. So it actually helps to kind of be a cheapskate and to live frugally and do things like extreme couponing like you've done. What are some of the tools you use? I know you use, what is it, the browser plugin, the extension.
The Rakuten app, formerly Ebates.
Ebates, yes. Some of that stuff. So how does that
work? You use Honey?
I feel like it's very similar to Rakuten, and you can't use them both together. So I've kind of chosen my favorite of the two, and I go with Rakuten.
So Rakuten, did they buy out Ebates? Because I think it was a European, wasn't it? I remember seeing soccer jerseys.
They were acquired by Rakuten a couple years ago.
Okay. So now how does that work? Every time you buy something, you get like a rebate kind of thing towards something else?
It's a plug-in just like Honey is. I know a lot more people are probably familiar with the Honey plugin. You'll click on, like, it'll give you a little a little pop-up asking you to link it through Rakuten. And once you do, it creates a specific little web address, and you're purchasing it straight from that discounted.
Oh, so you don't even have to do the Honey code. Like the Honey, you had to put in like an actual code. It was like, and a lot of them have expired. So yeah. Rakuten sounds like it's more legit in terms of.
It's like a percentage. So like with each retailer, you get a certain percentage back, and then they will also show you all the active coupon codes as well. And there's actually a button that you can press that will run through all of the coupon codes and try to apply all of them to the order. It'll pick the one that saves you the most money.
I feel like Rakuten and all those guys, they essentially created a much bigger business out of affiliate links.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like they're getting the affiliate money and you're getting a piece of that affiliate money for using them.
Yes.
We're going to talk to King about that.
Yeah, probably. So we had a whole podcast with a lady named King, and she does affiliate marketing, and she makes money off of essentially people clicking on her links.
So 2021 is going to be us. First we're going to do our dump trailer company getting that.
Go ahead and announce the name. Go ahead and tell people what's.
Oh, it's official. Let's take a dump.
Take a dump.
Yes.
And let's do it.
With Adam's ability to be an expert at SEOs, which I learned about doing this podcast. When people think about dump trailers, they're going to go to Google and say dump trailer Cincinnati, and the first thing that's going to pop up is going to be take a dump. And they're going to laugh and they're going to chuckle to themselves, and then they're going to come to Covington and they're going to get our trailers.
Who do you want to buy your trailer from? Like, who would you rent your trailer from? From Bob's Trailer Rental or whatever? Or take a dump? Come on. Take a dump. Clear winner.
I got to fill the far. I got to make the LLC
far and away.
This comes out on
Sunday. Oh, I know. You know what? We got to get the URL. Somebody's going to steal this.
I think so.
I'm sure somebody already stole
it. It's genius.
We'll get takeadump.co or takeadump.io.
See, this is like the guy version of your cleverness and creativity in the name of your company.
Yeah.
Yes.
Actually, these are good company names. Nostalgic is an awesome company name.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
So now let us know where you guys, I think officially launched this because I know I had to repost it.
Yeah.
You guys officially launched this, what, like maybe a month ago?
We launched our website, like our e-commerce site came out. Miranda worked really hard on that and got it up and running, and it looks amazing. So we kind of did a whole relaunch of it. We did start maybe 2 years ago.
Yeah, when the idea was first born in 2018, we got our feet a little wet.
Yeah, we had the name. We had you do the logo and all of that. But anytime it got a little too hard or became taking us away from what we were actually doing in our lives, whether it be real estate or my business, we kind of took a step back and we're like, we'll do this when we have more time.
It was the first thing to go on the back burner whenever things got a little tough or life got a little hectic.
Yeah.
I would say when 2020 hit and the novel coronavirus, we ended up ramping it back up. That really showed us the importance of having multiple streams of income and a side hustle. And your 9-to-5, it's not always that secure, as we've all learned. So.
Literally had somebody.
Not a guarantee.
Literally had three people write me today. Or three people that I know lost their jobs today. It's crazy.
It's crazy.
I wrote them back and I said, look, I've been saying it for I don't know how long. I've been beating this drum that you cannot rely on some business to be your livelihood, to be your only source of income, and to be, because you're essentially, you're saying, oh, let me put everything that I've worked for in the hands of someone I barely know a lot of times. I mean, if it's a big enough company, or even if you work for a small business, let me put everything that I live for, let me put my mortgage on the line because I believe this entrepreneur is going to be successful at this restaurant that they run or whatever it is, right? It just doesn't make any sense. Like, it is 2021. If you're not doing some kind of side hustle, if you don't have some kind of side income, I mean, Miranda, you work at Apple, mm-hmm. but at the same time, you're like, hey, I'm going to go and dip my toe in real estate.
Yep.
Real estate's one of the best side hustles, I think.
It was a hell of a time to be in Cincinnati. Right?
Really good. Realtor. Yep. There's not a lot of action happening, but the values of these homes have gone insane. And then when you add in the fact that investors are coming in, they're paying a premium for short-term rental properties is what they're going to end up being. Yep. It's getting unaffordable for most people to even buy a house, but it's attracting a lot of investors, especially on like the West Side, the four families, things like that, that people know they can make money on and they're going to cash flow from. Those things are getting scooped up right and left right now. So, you know, Miranda's obviously in that business. So, hey, look, Apple, pretty good company. They're sitting on a ton of cash. I don't remember the last time I ever heard of Apple letting anyone go, but at the same time, you're like, hey, why not be a realtor too? I'll have this little side thing. That's me, my business. Because when you're a real estate agent, that's your business. Like, that is you. You're an entrepreneur at that point. You may have the label of a particular brokerage, but you are your own business. You run your own business. You're responsible for the success of that business. So Miranda had a side hustle already. Melissa has me. I'm essentially her side hustle. Even though we just went down to Florida.
It takes so much work.
I know. I'm a lot of work, guys. But we went down to Florida for, 9 days?
10 days.
10 days. Mm-hmm. And she was my sugar mama the whole time we were down there. So she was buying our dinner. We were with her friends. And here come these, $250 Disney bills for, food. You could probably – honestly, dude, the nicer places I go – Kyle, everywhere in the world, it doesn't matter where we go.
That is not true. You love Topolino's.
So, okay, Topolino's is good. But, Kyle, I could just sit and eat three-way. I could just eat Skyline. It doesn't matter where I'm at. I could be in France in the nicest restaurant in the world. Afterwards, I'm like, you know what? I want some Skyline right
you
now.
You love Soto, too, though.
I do. Yeah, Soto is delicious. Anyway, so we're getting out of our thing. So people want to hear about Nostalgiawick. They want to hear about the...
I have a question about
that. Yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
Why candles?
Why candles? That's a really great question. I think that scents, smelling things, is such a tie to memory. Mm-hmm. Every time you smell something, you're like, oh, I remember that time. And so it just kind of lends itself so easily to what we're trying to achieve. We're trying to remember our grandmothers, and having that sense of smell tied with candy dishes and powder dishes and biscuit jars that remind us of our grandmothers, it just lends itself so perfectly. It was a match made in heaven.
So do you have this overpowering perfume candle?
Is that your memory of grandma?
No, but I remember going to church with my grandma, and we always had to go to Sacred Heart in Bellevue, and we always sat in the same spot, and this one woman always sat in the same spot, and she was probably in her 70s, and she always had overpowering perfume. And I found out that is not uncommon with older women.
It really isn't.
It definitely isn't.
And we do kind of have a candle that that are kind of like that, but dialed back a bit to be pleasant.
Yes.
So you can light it and breathe instead of oh my God, I got to open a window.
Yes. Yeah.
We have a white tea and gardenia, which you might say is a little floral grandma-y. And then we also have a rose and sandalwood. Mm-hmm. And then if you have a request that might be more up the,
they might as
the
well
aisle, what you're looking
Chinese.
For.
we need a man's candle, dirt and sandalwood.
Oh, we got a couple that are a little bit more musky. Yeah.
Musk. An underarm.
Vanilla and sandalwood.
I know exactly what that smells like. You guys got, this isn't just a basic candle company. You're not going out and getting the jars that look the same that you put out and it's Yankee Candle or whatever. This is, you guys have to go out and find, and the reason it's Nostalgiawick is because of the nostalgia part, right? You go out and you find these old antique candy dishes and things that really cool things, very decorative. Even if you didn't like the candle, it's something you would put out. you know, and it would, people would say, oh, what's that? Like statement pieces almost, right? So you've got these dishes, and Miranda, you're good at kind of hunting these things down.
She's amazing.
It's my favorite thing to do.
Yeah. So you go to what is yard sales, like
yard sales, antique shops. Antique shops. We do a lot of antiquing.
A lot of antiquing.
It's a lot of fun for me. It's something that I like to do even outside of the business. So if it can make me money, why not?
So even when the candle's over with, like, I mean, if you bought a candle from a generic candle maker or whatever, you're throwing it out after that, you know? But with this, this is something that, I mean, do you guys, do people know how to, like, could they refill these candles? Do you guys offer that service? Like, how does that work? Or is it something where you can like say, hey, here's how you clean out the dish and you could do whatever you want with the dish afterwards. It's not something you throw away.
No, absolutely not. These are unique and vintage pieces. They are definitely meant to be kept and saved. We would offer a refill service upon request for people who are local.
Local.
Yeah, local only. We don't want to go back and forth with the shipping. But yeah, even if you aren't interested in getting it refilled and you just wanted the one-time candle and then wanted to keep the dish, we use tabs that are very easy to remove. They are on a little piece of foam with adhesive that can easily be pried out, and you can repurpose the dish for a candy dish or whatever you would like to put in it. I know a lot of people put like potpourri and things in dishes like that as well.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, because it can still be used for like scents and things like that. Yeah. Okay. Because if your original purpose was to buy a candle, then you probably want a certain room or something to smell good. So once a candle's done, boom, potpourri time.
Absolutely.
Nice. Or you can go to the Jamaicans and buy that incense they always sell, you know, like on the street.
No, my wife found the incense that we used for that yoga thing in Bali.
Yeah.
She found the distributor, like One World Retreats is actually starting to sell their incense now.
Oh, no way.
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah, Bali, just the whole... The whole island of Bali smells like, awesome.
I need that link. I do like incense.
Yeah.
It's just One World Retreats. I don't know the actual, I guess, oneworldretreats.com or whatever.
I don't need the link. I'll just type it in my web browser.
Yeah. So that's, okay, so let's talk about this. So the process, okay, I'm somebody out here who's like, hey, I would love to start a candle business, or I would love to start some sort of e-commerce business, or I'm crafty. A lot of times you think, hey, I'm going to go on Etsy and I'm going to sell the stuff on Etsy. Do you guys sell on Etsy, or is your primary channel of selling these things of distribution of, you know, is that just on your website right now?
So originally we thought Etsy was going to be our main thing.
Yeah.
And honestly, that ended up being the second thing that we ended up setting up. We ended up doing our actual website first. We built that out, and then we built out the Etsy page. Etsy does, there's a few more like hurdles and things that you have to jump through to actually become an Etsy seller. I found that out the hard way. So we had our actual e-commerce website first. And that has so far done better for us than Etsy, but we're still working on figuring out like a bunch of the SEO and like the keywords and things that go into Etsy to really become noticed. I can tell that a lot of people purchase ads and things like that, and that's how they are successful, and that's really what they want you to do, which we haven't dove too far into that yet. So far, our big money maker is still our e-commerce site. We are also testing in a retail space. I'll let Melissa talk about this one.
Yeah, we're considering doing consignment. We did have one foray into that. We are actually at the Exchange in Newport on the Levee. I don't know if you guys have been there, but it's a really cute place to go. It's right there on the river. They have all these very eclectic shops, and we just kind of felt like we could fit there. So we approached one of the stalls there. We're doing consignment with them. But if you are thinking about starting a business, you do kind of need to test out some of these kind of things, because consignment is a lot more expensive than we had anticipated it being. And you need to make sure that meets your profit margin, like what you expected to make.
Because you did have to go out and get these dishes. You had to source them. You had to find them. This isn't like a cookie cutter type of thing.
Yeah.
This is, I mean, you're not manufacturing these dishes. These are legitimate antiques that you have to find. And that takes your time and your money. I mean, you're not showing houses because you're at an antique shop trying to find out where these dishes are.
Yes.
You know, digging through things. So, and then you have to come back, you have to clean it up, mm-hmm. make sure everything's good there,
yep.
and then actually make the candle by hand. I mean, this is very...
It's labor-intensive.
Labor-intensive.
It's labor-intensive. And time-intensive. But it's a lot of fun labor.
It's something
yeah, we enjoy.
We chose something we enjoy. And like we touched on earlier, like there is a big age gap between us. Mm-hmm. Our lives get kind of busy and hectic. And it's nice to find a reason to have to spend more time with Melissa.
So why did you guys go down to the levee of all the places you could have gone to?
That's a very great question. I had gone in there for my other business. I did a partnership with Queen City Cotton Candy. And if you don't know them, you should know them. They're amazing. She makes all these different flavors of cotton candy. And she will come to your business or to your event, do cotton candy service.
Like she has like a little cart or something she brings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really cute. It's a great idea. I did membership boxes for my spa business this year, and I included some of her cotton candy in there. And when I was there, I just took a look around, and I found a stall there that really kind of spoke to me. And I just struck up a conversation with them, asked them if they were looking for any other items to sell, and we just kind of went from there. And then the next week, Miranda and I went and showed them what we were talking about, because I didn't have anything on hand with me at that time. But then it just worked out, and we took some pieces.
They loved it. Yep.
Yeah, they loved it. They were like, oh, this is amazing. This is exactly what we were looking for, and we didn't even know we were looking for it.
Yep.
So you guys found a place that worked, that made sense for what you were selling. But how did you guys know that?
Maybe for the audience, just so they know, Newport on the Levee, it's like an outdoor kind of a shopping mall. It's got the aquarium for Cincinnati's there. It's got a music venue that's going to be new. It's just
AMC Theater.
AMC Theater. Is this still open?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's still open.
So they have new ownership that took over from the old property management company. A lot of places have been closing, so now you guys got in right in the middle of the rebranding.
Yeah.
So now it's getting new momentum. It's bringing people closer, because for a while when it opened in the early 2000s, it was, for Northern Kentucky, it was the place to go.
It was a big deal.
It was right. The big deal. Mm-hmm. And what I think that they're doing really interestingly right now is, when we were in Kansas City, they had this shop that was all just pop-up.
It was
shops.
Awesome.
It was amazing. When
I walked in there, I was pissed that Cincinnati didn't have something this freaking cool.
And I feel like the Exchange is trying to be that for us.
Like a bazaar, like an actual bazaar.
It was local, very local,
very local,
homemade,
but it was all pop-up shops, and they
t-shirts.
Were all really interesting and different, and it had such a great community vibe to it. And I think that that's what the Exchange is going for, the vibe it's going for.
Yeah, I think it is, and it's the old Barnes & Noble. So yeah. Essentially, Barnes
so
& Noble
it's
left.
It's a big
huge
space.
Place that they have
yeah.
to fill.
Yep.
I got a person, too, that has a consignment business that she's doing very well with.
Yeah.
That I don't know if you guys are ready to expand at this point, but it'd
yeah,
be somebody to talk to.
We're totally willing for any and all ideas.
Yeah, in 2021 we have some big goals, and one of those goals is getting our product into some more different retail spots and consignment spots. So we would love to connect.
So let's go there. Like let's say you landed two consignment spots. Mm-hmm. Do you guys know what your output is? Like how many orders do you guys could fulfill for these consignment shops? I know that each order is unique. So is it a matter of...
It depends on their space, how much they're looking to push.
Well, let's just say they gave you a great output contract. What could you guys... Because this is going to be for people listening who are busy too. How do you guys estimate how much you're going to be able to manufacture between the two?
How many
of
candles
you?
Could you make in a week?
A lot.
We could definitely make a lot. It's really dependent on finding the dishes.
And it kind of depends also what what these consignment shops want. Like if they're going for a certain look of dish, we, mm-hmm. I mean, we have to find what they're looking for if they have those kind of specifications. If they don't care, like exactly what type of dish we bring, mm-hmm. we could get them some good numbers. We could bring them quite a few. We could bust them out.
We definitely could. And there are dishes that are easier to find in great abundance. Mm-hmm. So if those were okay with them, then the sky's the limit.
Yeah.
Awesome. So what you guys are a little bit ahead of where I think a lot of people are with their idea. I think most people get stuck at, hey, I want to do this business. Then that's it. Like, they're like, I want to do this business. Oh, I got a cool name for it. Like, take a dump.
Nobody. Come on. Nobody has a cool
name. That name's the best. So, you know, they get to that point. They get a logo maybe made. They get some business cards made up. So they do all that stuff. But once they get to kind of the website part, once they got to the part where they actually have to start, like, going down to places like the exchange and meeting people, maybe they get a little hesitant or there's something standing in their way. And I would imagine if somebody was interested in an e-commerce business, they would go through the same steps of going and getting a website up and running, getting and maybe an Etsy page. Mm-hmm. What did that process look like? I just want people to not be so hesitant about keeping moving, right? Keeping things going. And I know you guys, you know, this was an idea for a couple of years now and you finally got it going. So you guys did take that step. A lot of people don't. Like, what finally got you to get the website up? What tools did you use to make that happen? And what kind of time was involved in actually doing that?
So what finally made us do it was just realizing that, like, hey, we've already started this. We're just sitting on it. There's a lot of potential here.
All of this inventory here. We need to do something.
We need to do something with it. So I was like, enough is enough. We need to get moving on this. So I purchased some more supplies, made a whole, like, I made probably like 30 to 40 candles in like 2 to 3 days. Like, I just busted out a bunch more to make it so we had enough inventory to actually create a website, some sort of e-commerce platform. And once I created all the candles, I took pictures of them and just started uploading them to I created a Square account. I started uploading them to the listings page on Square. And honestly, I was flying by the seat of my pants. I had no idea what I was doing. I was just pressing buttons and eventually found out exactly how to do what I was trying to accomplish.
And luckily, like, I had some Square experience because that's actually what I use for my e-commerce site as well, and I use Square for my booking and all of that. Mm-hmm. So I have a little bit of Square knowledge, not a ton.
And Square is by far, it's changed. The game has changed for Square.
Totally.
Yes, and it's pretty easy to work through, honestly.
I mean, they're even buying Bitcoin right now. They're scooping up all the newly minted Bitcoin right now, them and PayPal.
Yeah.
But it used to just be a payment solution, like a retail POS payment solution, right?
Yeah. Now you can build out your own website. And
you have e-commerce. You have appointments. They have a whole booking software that they've changed and upgraded, and that's pretty amazing. They also have the marketing emails, so they can send out, like, MailChimp-type stuff for you.
So everybody that comes to your website and buys something, now they're in your email list, and you can retarget them. You know they liked your stuff, and you put some new inventory out, it might be a good idea to shoot them an email.
Yep. And they also have a function that if the cart is abandoned, we can send them an email like, hey, your cart was left here. Do you want these things that you put in your cart? You should get them. They're amazing.
Yeah, just keep dripping on them, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
And the shipping. So you went in, you set up this website, you took photos, and actually Melissa has these really cool things sitting in here. They are faux backgrounds that actually, they're just, I don't know, 3x3 square sheets or cardboard looking sheets. But on one side of them, it looks like granite or it looks like marble or it looks like whatever.
And terrazzo. It's,
what are they called?
Replica surfaces.
Replica surfaces. And that's the website is replica surfaces.
Yes.
So you take these candles and you could put them on those replica surfaces and take pictures like you do with your skincare products. But you can also just, like, you've staged them in our house. You've staged them probably at your house and taken photos of them. But you're just using your iPhone, taking pictures on what, portrait mode or something? And
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, and then you
got
go in.
Halo
you,
light.
Yeah, you put in a description, you talk about the dish, you talk about the smell of the candle, mm-hmm. and you've got all these different scents that you can add in. So there's a cost there involved in that. And do you've created your own combinations of scents?
We have, yes.
Okay. So now you got the candle, you got the product, you've got a website and a way for people to pay. How do you do shipping?
So on our website right now, we just have a flat rate shipping. I actually went, like, they have a way to estimate like what the price would be to certain like bigger cities. And I went through and looked at like the estimated price per pound at some of the bigger cities. And I decided that $10 flat rate would probably work out for
most places.
There are a few exceptions that like California and Denver, Colorado, those seem to be a little bit more expensive than
others.
There's
that California tax again.
Yes, to ship. So that will obviously go past the $10, but it'll all even out in the long run. So we have a $10 flat rate on our website. What's nice about Etsy is they handle the shipping charge there. So it's just based off whatever the zip code that it is being delivered to, whatever, like, yeah, it calculates all of the shipping costs for us.
But all that can be done inside of Square as well?
Like yes.
Calculations and all that
it
other stuff?
It could. You could choose to do it that way on Square, but we chose a flat rate just to kind of keep it easy.
Mm-hmm. And now you guys have to ship these things by yourself, right? Like, you guys have to take these orders. They come in. You both get an email, I'm guessing, from Square.
Yes.
And it says, you know, Jan Smith ordered a candle and she lives in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania or whatever. And you guys have to package that up yourselves, mm-hmm. obviously, take that down to the post office and send it on out, right?
Basically.
Sort of, yeah.
So we do ship USPS. There is another piece to our shipping I haven't quite mentioned yet. It's called Pirate Ship. Whenever we do ship directly from our website, we do print our labels from a service called Pirate Ship, which is able to get you discounted rates without any sort of like subscription or number of orders that you have to meet to be able to get that discount.
See, Miranda is just so good at finding
this is why it's good
deal.
To have a millennial.
She's very good at researching. I'm like, you go. Just go do all of that. That's amazing.
That was gonna be my question. Is there something that's more, I don't know, cost effective for such a small startup at this point? I thought that FedEx and UPS would have like small business solutions, but you guys doesn't sound like it's quite cost efficient to use them yet.
Not yet. We're not there yet. USPS seems to be the best solution at this time. And I looked at quite a few different softwares and Pirate Ship seemed to be, it made the most sense because of like the volume that we're currently doing. As we ramp up, we might need to look into other solutions, but right now, there's no membership or any sort of threshold that we have to meet, and you still get the same prices as most of the other platforms. So
yeah.
It made the most sense.
Well, that's good. So that part of it, I mean, it sounds like a lot of work already. You're making these candles, you're packaging them yourself, you're taking them down to the U.S. Post Office. You've already done a lot of the research and you've shared a lot of that with our listeners right now, which is awesome, because I think this is one of the hardest things for some of these people who want to do e-commerce online. What platform do I build my store on? Where do I ship it? How do I find discounts on shipping? How does this work? How does that work? So you've helped that out a lot, but I'm seeing this is not an easy thing to do. I mean, you guys haven't been dissuaded by the hard work, obviously. Some people are, right? But on top of all of that you just mentioned, you still have an Instagram page you've got to keep going. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But the photos you take for your website, you repurpose for your Instagram.
Yes.
You still got a Facebook page you have to maintain, right?
Luckily, I'm in charge of Instagram and Facebook for right now. And I just link them together and they just share the same content. At some point we might start separating the content and making different content for different platforms, but for right now we are just kind of pushing it out in two different locations. But I think another very important thing for people to know about starting a business is knowing that you definitely need some form of protection. So starting an LLC, starting something legal.
When you say protection.
Protection for personal
right,
stuff.
Right, but you're not saying like, you know, a rainy day fund or an emergency fund. You're talking about legal umbrella that's going to protect you from any liability. So if someone decides that they are going to fall asleep with your candle burning and the cat knocks it over and the house goes up in flames, they can't say, oh, that nostalgic's not very nostalgic to me.
Yes.
I'm going to sue them for everything they're worth.
Because what's the insurance company going to do? They're going to go to every single person that they can go after.
In law school, it's called deep pockets. Well, in law in general, it's called deep pockets. And the first thing they're going to go to is they're not going to go to the truck driver. They're going to go to the owner of the trucking company, and they're going to sue them first. And then it's going to go through the anybody that had any part of the transportation is going to get sued in some way, some manner. But they're going to go to the richest person first.
Yeah.
So that's why you want to be protected, because there are some unscrupulous idiots out there that will screw up and try to get you money from you for it. And if you're not protected, they can take it.
They're essentially people
and even,
who...
even if you have, like, we have the stickers on every single one of our candles to not leave the candle unattended, all of the burning kind of instructions.
How to trim your wick.
Of that kind of stuff are on the bottom of each of our candles. But still, we have to protect ourselves. Like, we cannot by the seat of pants.
Even if they don't catch that, even if the fire doesn't catch the house on fire, that's the candle. Like, you would think, you know, the whole point of the candle is to set it on fire so that it creates a smell that's pleasant to the nose, not to burn your damn house down.
Yes.
Okay, so we've gotten that, you idiot. But if they decide that they, like, accidentally knock over this heavy-ass candy dish and break their foot.
Yeah.
Like something as small as that, you've also protected yourself against that.
Against that.
Well, and you know where all that started was somebody couldn't figure out how to open a ketchup bottle. Literally, this is, I'd learned this in school at one point. Somebody did not know how to open a ketchup bottle, or they claimed they didn't know how to open a ketchup bottle. And this was before the instructions that says twist to open the ketchup bottle. That's why that's on there, is because some guy couldn't figure out how to open a ketchup bottle, and he eventually just hit it on like the corner of his cabinet or something, and the glass cut his hands open. And he sued Heinz or whoever it was because they didn't have instructions on how to open their bottle.
Like the caution hot coffee.
Yeah, that's because of McDonald's. It's because the lady dropped it on herself or something, claimed she didn't know it was hot. I don't know. It's craziness. But anyway, we live in a litigious world.
So protect yourselves.
Yes.
Yeah. Moral story.
The guy who didn't win the lottery and spent all his money on lottery tickets, he's coming after you next. So just FYI. So you got to protect yourself. So that's a good thing to know.
And you also need to know what your local laws are. So if you need like a vendor's license or something like that, like in the state of Ohio, it's called a vendor's license. And that's how they know how much tax you have to pay. So whatever your local government, you need to do some research on what you need to actually sell.
Well, and commodity, because I don't think that it is, but like candles, are they considered flammable for the sake of shipping? I don't think they're quite incendiary enough to
I don't believe so.
No, we don't need any sort of special labels on the packaging for that or anything like that.
Yeah. So you got to understand that. You've got to also understand taxation.
Yeah.
Some people literally have never run a business before. Some people don't even get taxed. Like, they don't even have to pay personal tax. They make such little money, they just get refunds every year. And that's when I was younger, I had no idea how any of that worked, right? I was just like, oh, I get a refund every year. The first year I had to pay, I was like, what's going on here? What do you mean taxes, right? You start a business, this is a whole different game. You've entered a whole different game. Now you're in the tax game.
Yep.
And you have to understand how taxes work. You have to keep your receipts. Anything you spend money on, all those dishes you guys buy, those are write-offs. People, you can write that off against what you sold the product for, so you don't get taxed on the entire amount. There's all kinds of stuff. I mean, speak to your tax professional. I'm not going to be your tax professional. I know how this works after years of being in business, but you need to talk to your tax professional, figure out exactly what you need to save. Do not throw away your paper receipts, even though you think those are outdated anymore. You still need them. If you're doing a lot of stuff, you're buying a lot of things, maybe get a receipt scanner. There's scanners out there that essentially scan receipts and put it into your QuickBooks or whatever it is.
Yep.
So not only are you running this business, you're making the product, you're shipping it out, you're working on your social media, you're building your website, you're keeping your website updated, but you also have to worry about the business side of things. You have to worry about taxation. You have to worry about keeping track of things. When you start a business, it's not just, oh, I'm going to start a website and I'm going to make money and it's going to be great. No, there's a lot of stuff you have to consider, and there's a lot more time. This is exactly why a lot of the people I worked with at the big agencies back in the day, they went out on their own and they tried to start their own agencies. I've run an agency for 12 years now. A lot of them fail. Why do they fail? Because they think they're going to be sitting there designing websites all day or doing whatever it is they do.
And not wearing all the hats.
And not wearing all the hats. Because they did it at the agency, all they do is sit there for 8 hours and design stuff. They think they're just going to have all these clients and they're just going to design stuff all day. No. Half the day, you're making phone calls. You're writing proposals that you're not getting paid for. You're in QuickBooks. You're messing with your taxes. You're doing all these other things to run your business, and maybe a third or a quarter of your day is doing actual work. And that's what you're going to get paid.
Billable work.
You're like, oh, it'll be billable so great. Work. Yeah, billable work. So, oh, it's so great. Like, I'm going to make all this money. No, you're going to make, okay, so you think 8 hours, I'm going to make $100 an hour for 8 hours. I'm going to make $800 a day. I'm quitting my job. Screw that job. No, you're going to make 2 hours. You're going to bill for 2 hours of your day. You're going to make $200. What are you making at your job now? I'm making $400 a day or whatever it is, right? You're making half of what you're making now. So the only way you're going to make more money is to hire more people. At some point, you guys are going to look at this business and you're going to say, you know what? We're not going to make the candles anymore. We're going to hire somebody, maybe an intern or a college student or somebody to come in and actually make the candles. Or maybe they're the ones who drive the candles down to the UPS and ship them out for you, or if you trust them to do that.
So one thing about that I forgot to mention earlier is the fact that we use USPS. They do have the option to schedule pickups. Yes, that's what we've been doing.
So that's nice. So you won't need
to straight from my doorstep.
Any way to save yourselves time and money. Yeah. So you will eventually have to scale this business. Mm-hmm. So on top of the website, you've also got the Etsy page.
Yes.
What goes into setting that up? And you said there were some hurdles that you weren't sure about that.
Yeah, so you have to have everything in place before you can get the Etsy page up and running. You have to have your EIN number for tax purposes because they need all that kind of information if you are a legal entity, and we are an LLC. That's
and if you do not know, an EIN is essentially the social security number for your business. It's the tax ID number for your business so that the IRS knows where to go for money.
Exactly, yep. Mm-hmm. So we needed that. They also needed us to plug in our routing number and everything for our business bank account, which in and of itself, that's a whole to-do because they need all sorts of information to verify who you are and that your business is legitimate before you can even get your business account, your business like debit account. So it needed all that kind of information before it would even allow us to open a shop. So it took a few weeks to get all of that information in place for the Etsy shop to actually open, which is funny because Square was like overnight.
Yeah,
it allowed me to actually set up the e-commerce site before I had most of that information plugged in. You could plug it in later. Mm-hmm. But something that we noticed is it's definitely important to make sure all of like the platforms and tools and software that you are using integrates well. We spent a lot of time making sure that all of this stuff integrates and takes a lot of the hard work of us having to plug things into an Excel sheet or plug things into QuickBooks out because it integrates all of its data and stats for you.
So when you say that, all of a sudden I get scared, right? Like I get, you know, if I'm a person listening to this podcast and you just said, hey, make sure it integrates, some people don't even know what integrates means.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let alone try to figure it out. Mm-hmm. But this is literally something you guys just figured out on the go.
Yep.
It's not mm-hmm. that hard. Like, don't let words like integrate scare you. Don't let technology scare you.
It's all a matter of researching, and it's all a matter of like time and just doing it step by step. Yep. Miranda was actually talking about it earlier, and she was like, we had such a barrier in the beginning, in the first 2 years. We're like, oh.
It seems so heavy.
It
so
big.
It
way, way
so
heavy.
Steps.
And then once she actually got started in the process of it, it was like
it was seamless. Step, yep.
One step at a time.
They all led into the next. Yeah. And before I knew it, we were up and running on multiple platforms and selling candles.
This sounds like where my wife and my sister-in-law are at. They get together and they make these chapstick out of natural organic materials. And they last longer than CarMax, whatever it's called. I don't use
like
chapstick.
ASOS.
Yeah. And so they'll make it with, you know, coconut oil and all these different other things that are, it lasts a lot longer on your lips and it takes a lot longer to go through one of their sticks. Mm-hmm. And they branded it and they've got this cute little sticker that they put on it with a little bumblebee. And I'm not going to say the name of it because I don't want somebody to jack it once they hear it. But that was the thing. I said, why aren't you guys selling this? They've given away at least 200 and they've never had a negative comment on them. People love them.
Yeah.
Cayman and Elijah, my sons, they are always asking, do you have any more of this? Do you have any more? Cause they're like my wife, they get dry lips. Mm-hmm. And they always have them ready. And I'm like, why aren't you guys monetizing this? You could make a lot of money. I mean, you're already doing the hard part, mm-hmm. right? You're already spending the money to get the materials. You're already doing the labor, which they don't even consider it labor because it's like you guys. Yeah, you guys hang out, you talk, and my daughter helps them now.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure Burt's Bees is making money.
Something like that would ship so cheap, too.
Yeah, it would.
I know. I told them.
But I do on some level understand because
it's overwhelming.
Some of the business stuff does suck a little bit of the joy out of it, a little bit. But then once you get it up and running, like the joy comes back. Like it really is once you find that entry into mm-hmm. it and you've done the work, it can feel less work, right?
Yes, or, definitely.
Yeah, it feels like less work. Now that we've gotten past November and December, where Miranda was doing the bulk of the work on the e-commerce site and all of that. Now that we have it all up and running, it's
when the pieces are in place. Yeah, it's not hard to keep it moving from there.
So it's really just about getting those pieces together and making sure that they're running, and then it can be joy again.
Yeah, it's the overwhelmingness of the totality of everything you have to do.
It's like the Sunday scaries. Like on a business kind of level.
Yeah, where you're like, oh my God, I got so much to do on Monday. And then you get into it and you go step. I mean, for me, I always take it back to like when I was going to law school at night. And you start the first semester and you're like, holy shit. Mm-hmm. How am I going to do this over the next 4 years? And then you just do day by day by day. And then all of a sudden you look back and you're like, well, hell, I'm quarter of the way through this. Or I'm half of the way through this. So, yeah, I understand the intimidation aspect of it. I understand that.
Well, if you ever feel like you're overwhelmed and you know, oh, man, this is so far away, just look at the Bengals. When was the last time they won a playoff game?
How are you gonna bring this one around?
1989? Something like that?
Yeah, they beat
yesterday.
They beat the Houston
Oilers. But doesn't it seem like it wasn't that long ago? Like, when you look back, you're like, but it's been 21 years since they've won a playoff game? 21 years.
Yeah. Do you and it's going to take Miranda?
Nope.
Miranda doesn't even remember it. She's so young.
I'm still in diapers.
And all you got to do is it took you guys, what, 2 weeks maybe to set all this stuff up?
Yeah, honestly, I would say less than that.
Less than that.
So you have no excuse, people.
Don't
be the Cincinnati Bengals.
It did feel really, really heavy, and we're not discounting anyone's apprehension at all.
But take the plunge.
Just
well,
leap.
Honestly, just take one step and the next step will follow.
If you're going to climb a mountain, don't look at the peak. Look at the step in front of you.
Yeah.
One step at a time, you'll get there.
What's the saying? How do you eat an elephant?
One bite at a time.
Yeah. Well, you can tell, Kyle, how proper Melissa talks and then my Hillbonics in the way I talk.
You got to clean that up.
She's trying to help me.
I'm trying. It's been a 7-year journey.
Well, trying to take the hood out of me, but...
Well, he's got to do this in fast forward.
Actually,
we'll talk about that later.
7-year journey tomorrow.
Ah, congratulations.
Yes, it's a fact.
Fact.
Yep, and I told her all my crazy ideas on our first date.
Yeah, he did.
At Soto.
He told me crack wolves, and I stayed.
I don't even know if I've told you about crack wolves. It's crazy idea I got. Anyway, it's a... Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that at a different time. Yeah. It's funny, but people will take it serious.
Yeah. People don't take it for the joke that it is.
Yeah, but it would work. Anyway, so thanks for coming in, guys. We're at about 50 minutes now. We've been promising our audience that we'll keep these things between a half an hour and 45 minutes, and I don't think we ever have. Actually, it started out like, let's keep it in an hour, and that hasn't worked. So now we're trying to keep them, you know, relatively under an hour.
We did a really good job this time of not going out into the weeds.
Yeah. We get deep into the weeds sometimes. But we kind of know you guys' story already, so it helps. We don't have to dig in too much.
course you knew the story.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He was here from the very beginning.
That's right. Oh, man, the good old days.
Smell this one. Yeah. Smell this one.
2 years ago, doing your logo.
Which has a totally different meaning than when you're with your brothers. Your brothers are like, oh, we just had beans for dinner. Smell this one. Smell this one.
Hey, it's Halloween candy time. All right, guys. Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for coming out.
Thanks for having us.
And we got to go to the gym.
Yeah, we do.
So get swole.
That's all right. All right, guys. Well, thanks very much. And hopefully you guys learned a little something. As always, you can reach out to these guys. Give them the URL and everything and the Facebook page and all that stuff.
It's pretty easy to remember. It's nostalgic.com.
Spell it for them.
Go ahead, Miranda.
www.nostalgwic.com.
Woohoo.
And you can also just search for that on Facebook. You'll find them. Go into Etsy, search
for
it.
Can I have that in
our Instagram?
Go to www.nostalgic.com.
Yep, there you go.
What she said, though, it did sound like a kid on the spelling bee on ESPN.
All right, everybody. Well, thanks a lot. If you have questions, I'm sure you could reach out to one of these guys. You want to give them an email, Miranda?
Yeah, you can reach us at hello@nostalgic.com.
There you go. So if you got questions, even if it's, you know, you want to buy a product or if you want to ask some questions about how they got started or if you're in the media and want to talk to them, perfect time to do it. There you go. So anyway, guys, thanks again, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Thank you.